This is Peter Taylor, the organizer of the New England Workshop on Science and Social Change in May 2014. Looking back on the workshop a few days after it finished. This retrospective is mostly about the processes, and I hope that the processes or puzzles that I'll raise will be relevant to other people running other kinds of workshops. So I won't mention names, and I'll try to make the issues or puzzles generic. The first thing I've been thinking about is organizing versus facilitating. The very first of these workshops in 2004, we had a little seed grant, and we had someone who was a very skillful facilitator and also interested in the topics. And she was able to work with me to understand what I hoped that each stage of the would happen in each stage of the four-day program, and process afterwards what had happened, and think about what went well, why it went well, how to improve it. She was able to step back a little bit from the content of the workshop, or quite a bit, and notice little tensions, or even had skills to raise them before they erupted. Now, it costs money to bring in a facilitator, to pay them even a modest honorarium, and as the years have gone by, the workshops have mostly been run on a shoestring. You know, people's registration contributes to support those who can't, you know, high-end registrations support those with low-end registrations, and we have reduced costs in all sorts of ways. But can it really work for someone to be an organizer, a participant, and to facilitate, even to facilitate the delegation of other people to take the role of host or facilitator for different days? I'd like to believe it could, so that people could develop models and experience that would make it possible to do the facilitating role in any group they're in, not just ones that rise to the level of getting funding to bring in an outside facilitator. I'd also like to think it could, because it takes a rare facilitator to really cotton on to the kinds of processes and overall evolution that happens in these four-day New England workshops, and I think by extrapolation in other kinds of situations. I think facilitators get quite skillful at using their toolbox in the same way, you know, sort of making the workshop fit their toolbox rather than they pull out the tools that are relevant to the particular workshop. But it may be wrong. It's a puzzle. And why may it be wrong? Because there definitely are times when people are tired, and you know, I snapped at someone at the end, and I then needed someone to process it, but I just wanted to get on with the activity. And in fact, the source of the particular snapping that I'm remembering, maybe there are other ones that other people are remembering, was that we needed 16 pieces of paper, and the ones that had been cut up by the people organizing this activity, they hadn't cut up enough, or they'd been distributed unevenly, and there were none in front of me. So I wanted to get on with the activity, so I walked around, got some paper, and cut it up, and the person said, basically, you shouldn't have done that. You know, we would have looked after you. Well, I just wanted to get on with the activity, and the truth was, they hadn't noticed that I didn't have any. Well, it's all happened very quickly. So that the objective fact was that they hadn't looked after. They hadn't worked out a way to go around and make sure everyone got some. And I just wanted to get on with the activity, and I was tired, and I snapped, and all that thinking that I've just given you in the last minute wasn't able to be processed. a facilitator might have noticed that, might have noticed the situation before it happened, and also work to just move the particular emotional level of the interaction along. Maybe that's not the only reason why you can't be an organizer and a facilitator. It's also, I think, the facilitator's role is often supposed to be quite neutral, and the organizer, particularly someone who's organized now, this is the 11th year, has a higher status, higher authority. You know, I'm one of the oldest, I was probably the oldest person at the workshop and the most senior in the academic world. And so what I do is easily interpreted as having greater significance, as a criticism of the person who hadn't given me paper. I didn't care about that. I just wanted to get on with it, the job. And that brings me to another puzzle about delegation. A number of people noted that I was delegating more, but I didn't have enough time beforehand to chat with all the people I delegated the host role to, or to even check out whether they wanted to be delegated to. Be delegated to is not just an issue of whether they could take over and run things, but whether they would go along with the guidelines or parameters that I wanted to set. And this is an issue of delegation. Often people think it just is, okay, you pass the baton and someone else is now running the show. But I think delegation, to be a constructive relationship, is one in which the person delegating has made clear their parameters so that then they can sit back and they're not grimacing if something goes against their parameters. They're saying, okay, I made it clear, and now I'm ready to sit back. And I didn't spend that time, but I did say at one point, this doesn't make up for not having spent the time beforehand to have a real conversations about it, but I did say at one point that what was important to me, that if changes were made, they built upon knowledge of the what and why that had gone before. So that requires some inquiry, and I'm obviously the most relevant person. I have the most history in my head. And also some taking stock afterwards. So if the change, you know, how well did the change work? What can we learn from how it went? That basic plus delta kind of evaluation at the very minimum. And part of my delegation was to really affirm or emphasize that taking stock was very important to me. In my notes, I've got, why is it so important to me to take stock? To take stock also, for me, involves recording it so it's available, so it's transparent. And I tried to think, why is it that it's so important for me to record it and make it transparent? You know, in one sense, things that are recorded on the workshop uses a wiki are often only referred back to by me when I'm looking to make the changes for the next year. I look back and see my notes on what happened the previous year, and then usually I've taken stock and written some notes about what didn't work well and made suggestions for how to change it. So that's ready for me in 11 months' time, so I don't have to have a super memory at that point. Why is it important for me that's done? At some kind of political level, taking stock and recording it is opposing what happens when capital is mobile. You know, it can come to a place, you know, get subsidies to build a stadium, then leave. You know, that's just an example. It can take the resources out and then move on, leaving the people behind to deal with environmental cleanup or the lack of jobs. And so In other words, capital isn't really accountable. And, you know, for example, Reagan tax cuts in the early 90s were supposed to be based on promoting investment. And when that investment didn't happen, they didn't say, oh, okay, give us back the tax cuts. It didn't work. It just became part of the basic right that taxes would be lower. And it's also a you know, taking stock is also in opposition to those who push for accountability, because I think a pretty good generalization is that those for pushing for accountability aren't accountable. They, you know, if you're a dean, you before you even see the results of the things you imposed upon your faculty, you've jumped to another campus and become a provost. If you're a provost, you jump to another campus and become a president or retired or something like that. And it's also recording is also political in the sense of it's saying that learning isn't just something individuals can do, it's something that's social, it's distributed. You know, too much stuff comes up, too many issues come up in any intense learning situation for you to grab and digest at the given time. So it's very helpful for you to be able to dip back in later or dip back in when it's more relevant to you. And so that recording makes it social and makes the resources there for you to come back to. The importance of taking stock, I don't think it's a control matter, or recording is a control matter, because any reflections on the process can be done on a person's own blog or wiki or whatever, and then link to the particular wiki. And it doesn't really depend so much on people actually coming back and using the record of the recording. And here I'm getting to what I'm thinking most about this issue about why to take stock and record that, is that it becomes a bit more personal at two levels. Digesting feedback, keeping a sense of work in progress of what did I do well and what could be improved, what did we do well, what could be improved. Well, the lack of that is painful to me. It's painful at some level because the people who administer in the university who don't do that are create a climate where you've just got to jockey for power. You know, there's nothing you can have established and then work with, because it always gets recreated anew in a opportunistic way. Forgetting is very opportunistic. And it's painful to me when people, you have a discussion, you work through something, and then 6 months later people repeat the same thing that got rejected or got shown to be not what was really going on. But it's more painful to me just in a sense of who I am. If too much input comes in or I've got too much other stuff and takes over my life, then I feel I get frazzled. I don't like it. And that's in part why I'm doing this audio recording, because I suspect that I'm not going to get enough time to write this down in the immediate future. And in fact, I'm recording this before I've looked at the critical incident questionnaires where other people have taken stock, or collectively we can take stock. So I'll probably will come back and revisit these issues when I see the new facts, the facts that other people observe beside myself. But I said there were two levels at which it was important to me personally. One was I get frazzled when things are happening and I can't digest it. That's a sense of wanting to digest it and make it coherent and see ways to do it differently, to build upon what you've done so you can build a better and better Rube Goldberg machine of a workshop. But it's also how much, how powerful it was for me in the first workshop and some of the ones afterwards to go through with the facilitator and we had a participant evaluator, to go through the workshop step by step and take stock of what worked well and what could be improved. These were people who weren't necessarily going to come back to the workshop, though the participant evaluator did for several years. So they're really trying to contribute to making a project that I'd initiated and organized work well. They're thinking well with me and for me. And I suppose that's the power of that relates back, you know, childhood psychology and so on. And I won't go into that more, but it's once I realized that there's an emotional level there, I have to then call myself on the whole ladder of inference issue. You know, do I have the objective facts, the first level, to say that it's always necessary, always helpful to take stock? Or is it actually more a projection down from my feelings when that happens, and that happens with other people thinking well for me, that leads me to that conclusion? So that's a puzzle. Another puzzle from the... a puzzle related to that is, if there are these emotional levels, the ladder of inference is suggesting in this positivist way, if you can just get people to back off their feelings or back off their conclusions or back off their decisions about what to do, step back down to the objective facts that, and get a number of different people to contribute that, so you've got a pool of it, you can then work up from there. And it's a little bit linear, a ladder, it's a linear, because the emotional reactions are part of the objective facts, and they're often part of the motivating facts for people to actually come together in a workshop. So processing that, and when it's processed, things on an emotional level, when that's processed, it becomes an important part of the workshop experience. Again, that's a reason to have a facilitator who's can be attentive to that and not distracted by too much involvement in the actual content of any session. That speaks to another puzzle, which is, a few years ago, or maybe it's just last year, we initiated a structure where we worked together in the morning on some activity, and then we got together at the end of the day to digest the day. And in between, there was time for people to do work on the projects they came with. People were supposed to come with a project that they wanted to advance, and they would work on those projects in part through conversations, in part by, you know, going online or reflecting. But what was particularly evident this year was that that open space, that independent time, got used by people to create activities. And it was the non-stop one activity to the next that was part of what led people to feel that there wasn't enough time for independent thinking in the past. On one level, I could say that, as someone said to me, you know, it wasn't that we were full of activities in the past, it was full of activities that other people imposed on upon us. So generating the activities was, in this free time, was fine. But another level, it did mean that people made less progress on the individual projects they came in with, or even lost sight of what those projects were. And so this is a puzzle, because I would like this workshop format to be somewhere where we actually move our projects along. And yet a theme that came up when we took stock on the final day was just, and it came up in all sorts of things people said, was just how powerful it was to connect with a diverse, interesting group of people. And so connecting, making connections that can be built upon is part of one of the goals of the workshop. And so maybe the puzzle is that can more emphasis be put on the collaborative exploration without detracting from the connections? Or is the issue about making connections paramount, more important than the issue of making progress on the project that you bring in with? So this is another puzzle for me, and the final part is if people are making progress on their a project they bring into the workshop. You know, so this year we had 16 people, so that's 16 different projects. Their work in progress presentations on the third day, everyone got feedback from them, but the feedback would be something you would then feel really strongly that you wanted to digest, and that you would have time to digest it in the free time on the third day, so that already going into the last day you would be having a sense of, this is good, you know, I've worked out things I hadn't worked out before. It's, you know, having this set of 15 other people's input and my own reflection on my work in progress presentation is now, you know, I've taken stock of it and it's available to me. I've written notes on it and so on. Well, we did have someone contribute, you know, 2 days after the workshop, a completely new dissertation proposal or a sketch of it. So I guess that happens, even if it doesn't happen within the hours of the workshop. And that's something to pay attention to. But I do, this goes back to my feeling that I want people to be taking stock, and I want that to, you know, to be able to build upon what we've built, and so more evaluation as we go, even if it's just plus delta, you know, how well did this, what worked well and what could be developed further. That also then puts a little bit of pressure or expectation that each person is clear about what their goals when they try out something. And we definitely want people to try out things they haven't yet got clear about, but yeah, it's a bit of a catch-22 there. You've got to get clear enough that you can evaluate whether it worked well and how it could be improved, whether it is the 10-minute work in progress presentation or the whole day's schedule. So that's my reflection about some of the puzzles, and having done it, I'll try to give some names to them and put them up on the post so that they can be referred to if anyone wants to discuss these issues further, whether they're a participant in these workshops or just someone who's listening in. Thanks.